Open your Bible this morning to the New Testament book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 2. On this Mother's Day, we of course would like to wish a well-deserved blessing to our many mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, mothers-to-be. Motherhood is that noble calling and that exalted task that well deserves an entire day around the globe dedicated to it, in which we reflect and we say, thanks, Mom. Many of us have physical mothers, all of us do obviously, but many of us have spiritual mothers as well. And this is a day for celebrating them. Mothers are builders of nations, nurturers of princes, producers of scholars. And I don't care what our corroding culture around us tells us about the burden of motherhood, the status of motherhood, we all know the truth. Moms are what make the world go round. And today is your day. This month I will be in our newsletter, I'll be reviewing a book that I just brought over from the U.S., which was just published, called Adorned, Living Out the Beauty of the Gospel Together by Nancy DeMoss, who is a well-known woman author. This talks about spiritual motherhood. Physical motherhood is not the calling of every woman and is not the possibility of every woman, but we can all be spiritual mothers. And so what Nancy DeMoss does is she goes through this passage in the book of Titus, which talks about spiritual mothering, how older women have the responsibility of spiritually adopting younger women and passing on that great noble calling of walking with Christ to them. Here at the UEF, we are full of spiritual mothers. And I welcome you to read this book and to enjoy it as you fulfill your calling in that. The title of my Mother's Day sermon this morning is Calvary Moms. I invite you to become a Calvary mom this morning. You know Calvary, don't you? Calvary is that little corner in the ancient city of Jerusalem. It's that little block on the street just outside the city as you are leaving the city of Jerusalem. It was on that little stretch of highway. Wood crosses were placed, spaced from each other. It was not a healthy sight for anyone to see. It was the place where you would cover your children's eyes as you were walking outside the city to go do your farming. People would come and go from town, and it is on these crosses where criminals would be crucified, would be pinned, nailed hand and foot by spikes to left to hang and to bleed and to die. Some of these criminals would last days on the cross. Some they would have to even take down because they wouldn't die. They were removed, still living. Crucifixion was a painful way to die. And everyone knew it, especially the Roman authorities who had colonized Palestine in that day. The Roman authorities deliberately placed crosses on that little block called Calvary at the entry to the city with a warning. If you transgress our laws in our town, you'll be the next one. Calvary, a place of brutal death. Crucifixion, one of the most brutal forms of death. But for the Christians of that era and the believers of today, Calvary for us represents infinite love, doesn't it? Because Calvary is the place where our Master, Jesus of Nazareth, gave his life and he gave it for us in love. So, just there outside of Jerusalem, our Lord was crucified. No, he was not a criminal. He went there voluntarily. Can you imagine that? Voluntarily, he went to the cross of Calvary. He went there as our substitute. He died in our place. He died to take on himself the punishment of all of our sins, yours and mine, to be punished by his Father for us in love. Calvary is the place where we see God's wrath and God's mercy mingled together, where our liberation begins and where our rescue starts. So we love Calvary. We wear crosses on our necks. We wear crosses on our earrings. We have big crosses on our bumpers. We love Calvary, as dark as it was. We love the crucifixion, as hurtful as it was. And the mother who knows her God is a Calvary mom. So I invite you this morning in a few minutes to become a Calvary mom. And if you are a Calvary mom, I want you to appreciate it and to live it out. Well, what does a Calvary mom look like? How do you know one if you want to cross her? Well, they're all over the place. Some are tall, some are short, some are size 8, some are size 20. Some are educated, some are not. They come in all shapes and colors. Some are in the working world, others are at home. But there's a few things that are common to all Calvary moms. They come in one, and all this comes in one of the most precious verses of the Bible. So join me for a few minutes from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and I'll show you the marks of a Calvary mom. That precious verse says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's up here on our screen. Why don't we read this together? Can we read this all together out loud? Let's read this. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Thanks, Sarah. You can turn that off. Well, four marks of the Calvary mom is what we see from this verse. Number one, Calvary moms are crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Now, ladies, please, don't stand up and walk out. Well, I assure you that we are not going to have an altar call at the end with wooden crosses and hammers and spikes and nails. We're not crucifying anybody literally this morning. But a Calvary mom with confidence and her chin raised up to the sky says, I have been crucified with Christ. Now you might argue, wait a minute. I'm crucified enough in my home. I go through crucifixion every day as a mother. Isn't that our calling? I feel crucified by my uncaring husband. I feel crucified by my uncaring children. My unsympathetic boss at the workplace mistreats me. I don't need the church to talk about crucifixions. We don't need crucifixion mothers here. I don't need the gospel to add to it. Moms, I understand. But what we're talking about here is not adding more suffering to your plate, which is probably already full of it. And Paul here does not say, I am being crucified. It's in the perfect form of the past tense. I have been crucified. That means it has already taken place. It happened in my past. You see, what Paul is talking about here, and what every Calvary mom can confess, is that being crucified with Christ means being separated from the past life. There is a separation. When Christ was crucified, the old life was over, and he resurrected into new life. And this is what crucifixion means for the believer. We have been crucified with Christ. The old is gone. There's been a definitive break in our old way of life, and the new has come. And every Calvary mom knows exactly what this means. The old pride, the old self-centeredness, the old greed. There may be bits of it here and there, but the dedication to that old way is gone. You see, the crucifixion in this passage is a symbol of separation. It's a definitive passage into the new life. The old life is gone. I am dead to you. So the old habits come knocking on the door. And the Calvary mom says, sorry, she doesn't live here anymore. I've been crucified with Christ. And now you can't resurrect her anymore. Now this beautiful passage, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, didn't just float down out of heaven. It's not an apple that you just pick off a tree and start eating. It has its history. The Apostle Paul shared that story as part of his own biography. The Apostle Paul probably spoke this at a love feast in the city of Antioch one day. And there they were, the city of Antioch, up in modern-day Jordan or Syria. And there they were, the believers in the early church. Paul, Peter, Barnabas, and the church. And they were rejoicing that the old racism of the Old Testament is now gone. Now we Jews can freely eat and delight and sing songs and enjoy fellowship with these Gentiles, like us here today. And so there they were at Antioch, a Gentile city. Jews and Gentiles, no longer eating the kosher foods together, or only enjoying fellowship, mingling together, like was not possible back in the old days. And so here was Paul, eating with Gentiles at the table. All sorts of funny sausages and all sorts of funny little things on his sausage roll that he was eating that he could never eat before because of all the Jewish laws and all the cultural laws that had been added on top of those. Then the Apostle Peter gets off the bus, walks into the church in Antioch, and Paul says, "Peter, my dear brother, you've just come from the Gentile Cornelius' house, in which you've been eating all sorts of unkosher food. Come on and join me. Eat with my Gentile brothers. Here's a seat right here with you at the Gentile table." What does Peter do? I mean, this is Peter, the great apostle Peter, the rock. He looks around. Here's the Jews. Here's the Gentiles. The Jews are not eating with the Gentiles. A little bit of racism and tribalism has entered the church. Peter sits with the Jews. And symbolizing that I am not touching these dirty Gentiles. Well, for Paul, he got red in the face. And he stood up and confronted his brother Peter face to face. And I said, how can you completely undercut the gospel? We are now one. Here's the gospel of Calvary, or the cross of Calvary, with two arms sticking out. One receiving the Gentiles and one receiving the Jews, bringing us together. Peter, how can you do this to us? This hypocrisy, this betrayal of the gospel. So Paul stands up and says, I am crucified with Christ. Those old regulations, not only the condemnation of the law, but even all the old regulations of how to live, added with all these traditions of the Jews, are gone, separated. I'm no longer bound by those things. Now I am bound by Christ. Paul had enough of that. And just like any mother here, it is only Christ. And so when the mother declares, I am crucified with Christ, she also says, all those old things that used to dominate me and worry me and hound me and bother me, they're gone. I have been crucified to them. I have been definitively separated from them. Isn't that what death does? Death separates us from the condemnation of our laws. For example, a driver is driving around here in our southern suburbs and commits violations. First, he tramples over a pedestrian. Then he bumps into a cyclist. And then he runs over the fire hydrant. And then he speeds through that red light. And then he turns recklessly. And the police are after him. And they chase him down. And they catch him. And the police officer is in his car writing up page after page after page of violations until he has a book this thick. He walks over to the driver and looks in, and the driver has had a heart attack and is cold dead. Which of these violations will now apply to him? None of them. They're useless. The condemnation of the law does not apply to dead people. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. Everything that the Calvary mom depended on to make you significant outside of Christ, you no longer need. You are accepted in Christ. You're forgiven. You're loved. And you're accepted. And so you can do that to others as well. So the mom, the crucified mom, does not say, I am crucified only, but I am crucified with Christ. When Christ went to the cross of Calvary, I was in his pocket. And we died together. I am crucified is her declaration, and crucified with Christ. In a sense, she is dead to the former way of life. That's the first mark. If you walk around Fishhook and you're looking for Calvary moms, they will all tell you the same thing. I have been crucified with Christ. But there's a second thing that Calvary moms will tell you, and that is that they are empowered by the greatest force in the universe. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Are you ready? That Christ lives in me. This seems very strange. I no longer live? I mean, who am I talking to? Is it you, or is it Christ, or is it some zombie, phantom, ghost? Who are you? Now, children, don't panic about this. When you go up to mom, you're looking a Calvary mom, it's really your mom. It's really her. Husbands, when you want to reach over and hold your wife's hand, it really is she. It's not some sort of spirit in her. So when she says, I no longer live, it's not that she's no longer there in the body. This is figurative. It is really she. She's got mystically melded with her personality into Jesus. And it's actually Jesus that you're looking at. No, it's her, guys. But when the Calvary mom says, I no longer live, she's boasting that she no longer runs on her own power. My favorite Calvary mom in the whole world, who is not with us this morning, says, you know, sometimes I feel, as a mother, like a she-bear, a mama bear. There's that need to be aggressive to protect my children. There's the foraging around to providing for my family. There's the occasional growl to be able to protect and care for my family. The life of a mother is difficult, but she does not run on her own power. Sometimes the Calvary mom's life is downright harsh. Her demands are great. The despair is often very pointed. The monotony is huge. Where does her strength come from? It's right here. That Christ lives in me. By His power, by His constant reminder that your work is good, your work is noble. You have the highest office in the land. Don't devalue it. Just keep changing those nappies. Just keep boiling those potatoes. Just keep working where you're working. Keep supporting your family. She can only do that by hearing these words echo morning, noon, and night, that Christ lives in me. Petrol fuels a car. Batteries empower a torch, don't they? The person of Christ in you empowers the Calvary mom. So to summarize, I am convinced that the Calvary mom is the most alive woman in your neighborhood. She has died with Christ. It is no longer she who lives, but Christ lives in me. Let's go on. The third mark of a Calvary mom is this, that she's a woman who lives by faith. She's a woman who lives by faith. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, she's still with you, I live by faith in the Son of God. Calvary moms are women of faith. Calvary moms invest in planting seeds because they know that a harvest is coming. Being a Calvary mom is not rewarding in the short term because you're just planting. You're chopping up the garden, planting the seeds, watering, pulling the weeds, pulling lots and lots of weeds. But Calvary moms walk by faith. One day, there will be a harvest. There's little rewards now. There's a number of rewards later. And then in glory, there are many, many rewards. Calvary moms, by faith, she believes the Bible. She loves her husband. By faith, she grooms her children in the things of God. By faith, she believes in the nobility of her calling, I believe. By faith, she protects her children as much as it is possible. As much as it is possible. And it's not always possible from harmful influences. She walks by faith. She doesn't walk by sight. She's patient with her teenage children. She prays for her grandchildren. The Calvary great-grandma among us is a woman on her knees. There's nothing stronger in this world than a grandmother who is on her knees, pleading for her grandchildren for the cause of Christ. That's a Calvary mom. The fourth mark, and we'll close with this, is that Calvary moms know who loves them best. Calvary moms know who loves them best. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Are you ready for this one? Who loved me and gave Himself. I think the best translations are, who gave Himself up for me. Calvary moms know who loves them best. We husbands, we try. Kind of. Children, they try. But sometimes those little Mother's Day cards and the flowers are just not good enough. But this is what fires a Calvary mom. He loved me and gave himself for me. Look at that little word love. Past tense, isn't it? It's in the past tense. It doesn't say that he loves me, but that he loved me. Does that bother you? Wait a minute. I don't want a Jesus who loved me. I want a Jesus who loves me right now. Like your husband who once brought you flowers, but only now sits and taps his fingers until you bring him his breakfast. He loved me, but I want a husband who loves me now. I don't want a Jesus who loved me. I want a Jesus who loves me. I understand this fear, but Calvary moms chase that fear away. You see, Christ didn't just buy you roses when he wooed you to himself, did he? He did something big. And that something big that he did is something that guaranteed that his love for you would never depart, even when your husband's rose petals start to depart. When Christ said to you, "I do. Yes, I will," that guarantees that every day of your life, he will love you. And this is the reason. The Apostle Paul again says in Romans chapter 5, God demonstrated his love for us in this. When we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He loves me because he did something that guarantees his love for me every day. Let's close with that little two-letter word in the last line of this wonderful little anthem. He loved me and gave himself for me. Two words, but such power. Martin Luther, when he reflects on this, says this has given him such deep strength. Me. It doesn't just say that God loves us, or God loves the world, or that God loves all mothers, or that God loves the idea of motherhood. The Calvary mom makes it personal. Christ loves me. Ironing the clothes for the school that morning as the kids are late heading out, ironing those jerseys. Someone loves me. When everyone else forgets about me, when my children have moved overseas and I barely hear from them anymore, Christ loved me. A Calvary mom knows that she is loved. When the husband's love grows cold, she rests in a greater love, the greater love of her Savior. When her children don't appreciate her, she knows that she is loved by the greatest lover of all time, the Son of God. Don't you see what this means for us? This means that the Calvary mom now can love freely. She doesn't have to manipulate or complain or cajole. I am loved and accepted freely in Christ. Now I can show that to others, the Calvary mom. So, dear mothers, I invite you back to the cross, back to the cross of Christ, but not to that piece of wood, but to the Lord who hung on it and comes to you this morning on Mother's Day and says, "Moms, come to me, all you who are weary, burdened down with problems. Take my yoke upon me." The Jesus who, among his last dying words, looked at his mother when she was watching him die and said, "John, take care of her." The Jesus who cares for mothers says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." Elizabeth Elliot was a Calvary mom. She dedicated herself to the propagation of the gospel among the tribes of South America. She and her husband and a team of others traveled down to South America and were reaching unreached people with the gospel of Christ. One day she and her fellow missionary wives heard the news that her husband and others had been speared to death by this brutal tribe who did not want to hear them. Elizabeth Elliot, what did she do? She's a Calvary mom. She believed in forgiveness. She believed in grace. She believed that I have been crucified with Christ and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, Calvary moms are mission moms. whether it's right there with your children, in your neighborhood, or somewhere else. You're always thinking, God so loved the world. Elizabeth Elliot took her daughter and went right back into the jungle where they killed her husband because she believed in free grace. So moms, we celebrate you today. Grandmothers, great-grandmothers, this is your day. You've worked hard for it. We celebrate you. We thank you. But would you declare today, I pledge myself once again to being a Calvary mom, and I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me and gives me the power. And this life that I now live with all of its perplexities and difficulties and monotony and unappreciated people around me, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's celebrate that today. Let's pray. Our Savior, we're thankful to you that we have a reason to live, that we have a reason to rise up to this noble calling. Thank you, Father, for our mothers, our grandmothers. Lord, I pray for these aspiring mothers who are among us as well, that they would look forward to the day, Lord, when they can raise up a great lineage of those who love you. I pray this morning for brokenhearted mothers, mothers, Lord, who have seen their children wander, mothers, Lord, who have had to say goodbye in life to their own children who passed away far too early. Bring comfort upon them. Lord, may they take up that mantle of spiritual motherhood, of taking on a younger woman, mentoring her in the things of Christ. Lord, we thank you so much that you loved us, you gave yourself for us, and Lord, because you love us first, we dedicate ourselves to loving you this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.